Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Back to the Samson option. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Wesley, I just heard your announcement. You and Tony Vitagliano, Ed's son, y'all are going to be at the Ark in Kenham, Ancients in Genesis.
That's
at the Ark. When is that coming up?
That is coming up October the 31st through November the 2nd. You can go to afa.net/events, and you can find out all the details there. We look forward to fellowshipping. We're going to go visit the Ark as a group, and we'll walk through that as well.
How many people are you going to have? 100, 200, what?
We're going to host 200 people.
That's the end of it.
That's right. And there'll be families. Last year we did this. We had 170 families, a bunch of kids, there were parents brought their
right,
kids.
Right, big families everywhere.
It was just a wonderful thing that we got to do. So
kids bother you, don't come.
That's right. That's right.
Have to march the kids on the Ark 2x2?
That's right. No, we didn't, but we'll try. You know what? From effects, that may be kind of fun, right?
Yeah. So you're saying you're hosting, but now Answers in Genesis is going to provide the speakers?
Dr. Georgia. That's one of our speakers, Brian Osborne. These are some names that are familiar with, Brian Osborne for sure. He spoke last year. He'll speak again this year. He's in the process of really, filling in where Ken Hems.
So when is this and how can I read about it and how can I sign up if I want to come to be at this? And you're about halfway full now, aren't you?
That's right. We're over halfway full right now. AFA at the Ark, our second annual trip, is October 31st through November 2nd. You can go to afa.net/events to see the speakers. You can also see the itinerary. And most important this year is we're adding the Creation Museum as well. So we're going to do both. We're going to go to the Ark, and we're going to go to the Creation Museum. So make the most use of it.
And it's going to be more than, hey, look at this, isn't this great? You're going to have the actual speakers from Answers in Genesis that will talk about everything and lecture on everything.
They'll give us a VIP treatment because we have our own group.
You are.
That's right, because we are. Because we have our own group, and they're going to come specifically to speak to our group. So.
Right. Okay. Steve Paisley, Jordan.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Sorry for jumping in there.
That's okay.
No, thank you for your help.
We got Frank Turek hanging on here for just a minute.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, I was going to say that Ark is great. I was there in November.
Isn't it wonderful?
Amazing display, yeah, really, really amazing.
I hadn't been yet. I've been to the Creation Museum,
and they've updated it since you've been.
Have they?
Uh huh.
Is it evolved?
It's evolved. That's
you
it.
See what it did there?
I did.
Oh, that was clever. All right, so Frank, did you read up on the Samson option?
No, I have not, man. I've been waiting for you to tell me what it is. Is somebody from Israel going to go into Gaza and push over some pillars?
Here's the Samson option.
Right.
By the way, for you Southerners, when you typed in Samson, that's embarrassing. Don't tell anybody you did that, okay? The Samson option is this, and I'm serious about this. Israel has a lot of nuclear weapons, all right? And if they are going to be annihilated, then they're taking the rest of the Middle East out with them. Has anybody looked up? Ray, did you look this up?
I thought this whole thing was made up. I thought you were just
shooting
by the hip.
I'm not kidding.
I didn't look it up, but that's what I thought it was, that...
All right, you know, I gave you guys 8 minutes to look this up while I was out getting coffee and trying to run the office, and I'll look it up. I'll type it, Samson option.
Hey, Tim, we trust you. Whatever you say goes, because if you find it on Google, we all know it has to be
true. I Googled it, which is not hard to do, and now Google's asking me for money to support their leftist agenda.
Why would anybody want the Samson option? That seems crazy. That's the mad doctrine, mutually assured destruction.
Yes, that's what it is. The Samson option, I'm just telling you this because this explains, I think, why Iran really never follows through with their threats, okay? Yeah, they'll do this here and that there, but they're not nuking Tel Aviv because if they nuke Tel Aviv, Iran is gone from history. Well, not from history, but they're wiped off the face of the earth. The Samson option, God forbid that would ever have to take place, is Israel's deterrent strategy of massive retaliation with nuclear weapons as a last resort against a country whose military has invaded and or destroyed much of Israel. So they're taking the approach, if Israel is going down, the rest of the world is going down. Not the rest of the world, but whoever's attacking us, they're going down too.
Well, remember that the third holiest site in Islam is the Temple Mount.
In Jerusalem, that's
it's
true.
It's the Dome of the Rock. It's the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Yes.
So that's actually a deterrent and a reason they wouldn't want to destroy Jerusalem. Because
well, and there's also a lot of Muslims who live there.
Of course. Yeah. This is what is often forgotten, that 20% of the people that live in Israel, not just the West Bank, but in Israel proper, are Muslims, and they all vote in Israeli elections. There's even a Muslim on the Supreme Court of Israel. They're in the Knesset. So this silly line that Israel's an apartheid state is just not true.
Right.
They vote just like everybody else.
Yes, they do. That is a correct statement. All right, Frank, what's your website? What's coming up this weekend?
Well, let me tell you what's coming up tomorrow night. I don't know if you guys have heard of the book Shepherds for Sale. We had Megan Basham on the show just a couple of podcasts ago.
I'm reading it now.
She's going to be on tomorrow night live on our YouTube channel, the Cross Examine YouTube channel, to answer some of the people that said, oh, I was taken out of context. Some of these people who claim that they're evangelicals but have been drifting left. So she's going to answer that and take your questions tomorrow night on the Cross-Examined, not only website, but YouTube channel. And then this weekend, I think we're having, if I'm not mistaken, Natasha Crane or Elisa Childers on this weekend for, it's probably Natasha Crane. We're having Natasha Crane on this weekend to talk about when culture hates you. What do you do when culture hates you?
Okay.
That's what we're going to talk about on the American Family Radio Network version of the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist podcast this Saturday at 9 a.m. Central and at 4 p.m. on Sunday Central.
That's right. So join Frank, one of those shows, the weekend shows that Frank hosts, Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. He's 9 o'clock Central Time, Saturday morning, and then 4 o'clock Central Time, Sunday afternoon. Join Frank Turek. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Thank you. No Samson option. We don't want that.
No, we don't want the Samson option.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, brother.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right.
I'm always impressed when Ray comes on Sunday that he remembers exactly what he said on Saturday morning and says it again exactly the same way.
You mean
way.
Frank?
Frank. That's what, did I not say Frank?
You said Ray.
You meant Frank.
Hey, Ray.
My memory is nowhere near that.
I meant Frank, and that was a long way to go for a very bad joke. Okay.
That's all right. What do you got for us?
All right. Hey, why don't we start here? There has been a report come out that has revealed that 99 illegal immigrants who were on the terrorist watch list have been released into the U.S. in the first 3 years of the Joe Biden administration. They have encountered as many as 250 people on the terrorist watch list crossing the border, and that doesn't count all those that may have crossed and they didn't catch them. So the Biden-Harris border is loose like a sieve and is bringing a lot of dangerous people in here.
Yeah, this has been an ongoing thing that we've covered ever since. Been about 4 months since the legislation where in the news every day it was the Republicans are keeping the border open. So we've been discussing it ever since then, and even before that, that there is a major issue at the border. And I've told y'all this before, my number one reason the number one interest for me as it relates to picking a candidate for the presidential election is the number one thing for me is who's going to close the border, who's going to do something about the border. And because this is one of multiple reasons, as we've discussed, of the problems of the border. So let's focus on just this one for now. There's other reasons, but the fact that terrorists, the people that are coming
that are on the FBI watch list,
that are already on the list, that are coming
how are they released, though? I don't understand that. How are they released?
Well, they it's part of the catch and release program. And either they found out after they released them that they were, that guy was on the terrorist watch list.
Yeah, I sent you that story. I read it myself. Yeah. I don't know if we know the exact answer to my question.
It is a little gray, but.
How they were released.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you get into the fact this person arrested them, but it wasn't.
They don't know till later.
They either don't know till later or they'll say that's not my area.
Yes. Are these Homeland Security stats or FBI stats, or do you know?
This is from the United States. Hold on. Oh, wrong story.
What?
This is from a report put out by the House Judiciary Committee.
What I still want to be asked at a debate from a Republican candidate to a Democrat candidate, I want the Democrats to have to be able to answer this question. In the event that we could identify, which we can, those that have committed violent crimes in our country that are here illegally, which also would and include those who are on the terror watch list, if we could round them up, for lack of a better word, and send them back, would you agree to do that? Obviously, I think everybody that's here illegally, there has to be some consequence, but at minimum. Because you often will say, Dad, well, they're coming here for better life, blah, blah, blah. That's true.
Most of them.
That may be true from a lot of them. That may be true. But many
still,
of them.
Still doesn't make it right.
They'll make it right.
To come here illegally, but I'm just saying their motivation would be economic, not to hurt our country.
Right. So let's take those off the table. Let's just focus on those just for a minute. Those that are here to commit violent crimes and already have committed violent crimes. Can we agree to send those people back tomorrow? I would just like to hear a Democrat answer
that's
because you would think that would be.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would like to hear the answer to that. Although, if you commit a crime here in the U.S., you need to be punished in the U.S. Violent crime. You can't just set them free back in their own home country unless they're going to be. We're going to be told.
Or do both.
They're going to be punished back in their own home country.
Do both. Yeah.
But I will say this. The number one priority with respect to the border is to close it down.
Yeah, that's it.
Close it down because the millions and millions and millions, and literally, Steve, it's ten million or more people have been.
Millions a year.
Have been coming in because Biden and Harris just threw the doors open and said, everybody come. And furthermore, they've said, everybody come and we'll pay for your health insurance.
Yeah.
This is just mind-blowing.
And we're flying them in from overseas. We're actually putting them on planes and flying
really?
Them. Yeah.
That's the number one. I agree with
and
you.
And then this story.
That's the number one or number two issue for a lot of voters, at least top five.
For sure. And for a while, it was number one while it was in the news more. But here's the problem here is we have terrorists in our country because the Biden administration has opened up the borders at the bottom.
I don't know where to file this particular part of this story. It's either the stupidest thing anybody's ever tweeted out or you're being gaslit, but it's certainly the biggest cell phone I've ever heard from the Democrats. This was on July 17th. This is during the RNC convention, and Dan Bongino was on stage, and he said this, cut 11.
Most importantly, 4 years under President Trump, we had 13 people we arrested on a terrorist watch list. Joe Biden, 381.
That wasn't Dan Bongino.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that was Tom Holman. It was Tom Holman. My bad. Tom Holman said that. Now, the Twitter account Kamala HQ, which is a rapid response Twitter account from the Kamala Harris campaign. It's chock full of anti-Trump, pro-Kamala Harris stuff. And they said this. RN Speaker admits the Biden administration has arrested more people on the terror watch list than the Trump administration. I kid you not.
Oh, well.
That would be a lie.
No, it's not. It's not, but I mean.
Yeah, this is just. All right.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Tim, Wesley, Steve, and Ray. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. Hey, let's go back to the assassination attempt of President Trump. There's still a whole lot of debate going on about what went wrong in the Secret Service, and we just keep getting piecemealed out these bombshells of how absolutely what an absolute fail that whole mission was. And now Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri was on Jesse Waters Primetime, and he has been talking to a whistleblower that has some information about the agent in charge that day. This is the Secret Service agent that's the top-ranking agent on the site in Butler, Pennsylvania. And it's a she. We don't have a name, but it is a her. And I want you to listen to what the whistleblower has told Josh Hawley. Listen to this. This is cut 8.
Well, what they've been saying, Jesse, is that this individual, the site agent, the lead agent, was known to the Trump campaign to be inexperienced, to be ineffectual, to be frankly incompetent at their job. Well, I'm also told by whistleblowers that on that day, she was not enforcing the normal security protocols. She was not checking people's IDs. She did not use Secret Service agents. Most of the agents there that day were not Secret Service agents. They were Homeland Security agents. And get this, Jesse, most of them had never worked a rally before. And yet this is who she chose to staff the event with, and she didn't train them or integrate them. From top to bottom, it was a total disaster. Jesse, it is a miracle, not only that Trump is alive, but that more good Americans were not killed. It's unbelievable.
Oh, and by the way, she is still providing security. Nothing has been done. She's still on the job doing what she did before.
I don't know at this point what more you need as far as evidence to for this person to be relieved of duty. I mean, you can't. I mean, everything.
Who is she?
We don't know her name. That's the problem. That's what's aggravating about the whole process here is that nobody's releasing that. And I don't understand why, if Josh knows the name, why he wouldn't. Senator Josh Hawley. I don't know why he wouldn't release the name. That's why I'm wondering if there's some type of legal issues here.
Well, hopefully, surely they've got this fixed. And man, by they, I mean President Trump and his team, his inner circle of security people, Secret Service, has said this assured that this kind of thing will never, ever happen again.
They have not, and they can't, because they are dependent on the Secret Service for this protection.
Okay, then if that's the case, and I'm not saying that's right or fair, but if that's the case, then you got to shut down anything that puts Trump in potentially harm's way.
Well, and that's
what if Trump wants to do it anyway, then that's his decision to roll the dice.
Ray, this was suggested by the Secret Service that you can't hold any outdoor rallies because we can't protect you, which seems an admission of failure and is taking one of the biggest positives, the biggest campaign tools that Donald Trump has is drawing 100,000 people at an outdoor rally.
You know, a lot of people have asked or wondered, maybe that's a better word, Steve, was there some sort of conspiracy? But I guess I lean now to astounding incompetence, mm-hmm. astounding failure, astounding. How much more can the Secret Service fail if President Trump doesn't turn his head at just that moment? Everything else, it's a perfect setup for President Trump to be assassinated. So heads should roll from the top down all the way through. And as far as I know, Steve, you can correct me. I don't think anybody's been fired yet that we know of.
The director of the Secret Service.
Not fired. Resigned. I'm very upset about this situation. I'm going to be very specific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, nobody else has lost. And because, according to the current acting director, they want to do a full and complete inventory and investigation before they take any action.
The irony here is that when Ronald Rowe, when I listen to him a couple of times, he keeps saying we got to make sure that we cross our T's, dot our I's, and make sure that everybody did their job. Because if they did their job and it just happened, then there's no consequence. I'm going, that's the whole reason we're here.
Yeah.
He's saying that if they follow the protocol, then we can't fire them if it happened. Maybe we need to revisit our protocols because
if they come up with that, then they need the Secret Service is done for.
Well, what would happen? Okay, let's just play this out. What happens if the bullet's 3 inches to the right and he dies? Then what? Are we still going to do the same thing?
Oh, you mean in terms of who's held accountable?
Yeah. What's the difference between him getting shot in the ear?
Well, no, the failure is the same.
That's my point. Yeah. Yeah.
The failure on the part of the Secret Service.
But do you think if President Trump was assassinated, do you not think that somebody by now would have been fired?
I think our country would probably be in a civil war of some kind.
Right. Had it, right.
We dodged more than one bullet.
Then. Whatever that looks like, I'm not sure, but there would be. Yeah, if he would have been shot and killed, yeah, there would have been.
I'm just not happy with the failure of the Secret Service, and nobody's.
Shouldn't be.
Well, yes, at least up to this point.
Well, we're four. You can't tell me in three.
The Republicans are not even mentioning the name
but
of the person.
Trump.
Okay.
We're 3.5 going on 4 weeks.
Trump should mention the name. He calls everybody else out.
That's why I'm asking the question. There has to be some legal reason here. I mean, I keep saying that because why else would
Trump
they
Trump should say this person failed and they're fired.
Look though, Tim. He's got every time he appears in public, he's got to depend on the Secret Service.
That's true.
He's got to. I mean, every rally, he's got to. Got to depend on those people.
He can hire his own. He can hire. Yes, that's true. But I think he has enough money to hire his own personal security detail. In my opinion, he's a multi-billionaire.
Yeah,
he's a billionaire. But yeah, you're right, Ray. As it stands now, any former presidents have a. Have Secret Service to protect them. How many agents they have, I don't know. But what I am saying is if you don't have enough security to secure the event, you don't have the event.
Okay, and that's true. But I'm going back to the question of why doesn't Trump mention this person's name? Look, in a situation as volatile as this, you got to be sure. You got to be right. You got to be 100% correct. And I think Trump is
You don't
probably,
think he knows?
He knows who was in charge that day.
Sure he does.
But if she's still in charge, you don't want to
make
her mad.
Right.
What?
Right.
You don't want to make her mad if she's still in charge of security.
That's not how.
Let somebody else mention
I'm just telling
name.
You that's not how Trump operates.
Yeah, that's true. That's
well,
true.
I know.
True. Huh?
I what just want a name, and I want somebody fired.
Well, Trump can give it to you today.
Well, so could Josh Hawley.
So could Josh Hawley, Senator.
And Roe.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a reasonable explanation for why it has, but it surely looks like by now, I mean, the Secret Service director was fired or resigned.
Pressured to resign.
You would think the person that was responsible for the event that day in Pennsylvania would have resigned already too by now.
Yeah. And we don't have time to go over this, but there was a long list of failures of the person that was on site. This is not just a flippant thing. This is why I'm not satisfied with the current director of the Secret Service saying we've got to see if they just didn't practice. You know, if they did everything right and it just happened. Obviously, there was a failure. We got to.
Yeah, if you did everything by the book. And still something happened, then...
You still get fired if a shot gets...
But they didn't do everything.
They did. That's the point, yeah.
And that's what Josh Hawley, Senator from Missouri, was saying. All right, Ray, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, Tim.
Ray Pritchard, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Wesley, thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank Christopher Woodward, Frank Turek, Brent Creeley, our producer. And we'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.